We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. Thanks for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast. Yesterday was certainly a cool one, and just a little on the windy side too. But today we're back at it, and hopefully. You know, we'll have nice weather today, maybe a little warmer, and you'll be able to get some things done. But praise the Lord. We're going to be in John chapter 5 today. John chapter 5. I really want to, what I've been trying to stress over this week is that we are not supposed to be in a spiritual holding pattern or a spiritual status quo, where we don't change. The Bible is very clear. There is only one entity in the entirety of all things that are that does not change, and that is God. You and I, we are supposed to be in the process of being transformed so that we reflect more of Jesus Christ than we ever have. And I want to do that not just in my spiritual realm. I want to do that in walking in the supernatural health that he provides. I want to be transformed so I'm walking more according to his purpose. And so that's what we have been talking about this week. Today we're going to be in John chapter 5. We do want to give a shout out to Greg at Jits Concrete. 536-5804. Greg and his family are some of the people who've been at Merit Assembly of God longer than I have, and I'm now in my 23rd year, but they've been around Brevard County a long time, they will do a great job if you need any block or concrete work. So if you have anything that they could be of assistance to you with, call Jits Concrete, 536-5804. This coming week, I will be preaching. I'm going to be preaching this Sunday. Our grow groups, we do them twice a year. We do them January, February, and March, every other Sunday, or the second and the fourth Sundays. And then we do them again August, September, October. And so we are into our winter season of grow groups, and those will be taking place this Sunday night at 6:30. I do want to let you know that Monday night is our Women of Worth meeting. That will be meeting in our fellowship hall at 7 o'clock p.m. We were discussing that the other day in the office, and my office manager says, "Oh, that's the night of the national championship football game." And she said, I was wanting to see that. And I was able to reassure her that she will still be able to see it because they start those programs later in the evening. And so, ladies, if you're out there, if you don't want to watch the football game, have we got an offer for you? You can come and hang out with some godly ladies. You can grow in your relationship with God. And so they're going to be embarking on a journey this year, and so they're going to be finding out more about that starting Monday night at 7 p.m., and we would like to extend an invitation to you to come to that. And so Wednesday, will be our vintage service, and I'm looking forward to everything that God has here in 2015. We do want to pause, first of all, to say thank you to God for everything that was done in 2014. We're believing that what God has begun in that year, that he will continue further in the process this year. And so if you do not have a church home, would like to be a part of a body that is growing, that has a heart for reaching the lost. By the way, as I mentioned that, I would like to let you know, not this Sunday, but the following Sunday, and I'm going to be extending an altar call this Sunday morning as well, but the following Sunday, which I believe is the 18th, I believe that's the date on that, I am going to be preaching strictly a salvation message. And so if you feel like you're in a hopeless situation, I want you to come and hear, because I'm going to be proclaiming about the God of all hope, that he is able to touch. If you've got people who are not in a relationship with Jesus, I'm not going to beat them over the head. I am going to be presenting the word of truth, the word of power, the word of love, the word of transformation, the word of grace. And so what I would like to ask you to do is, between now and then, for the next 8 or 9 days, whatever period of time that is, if you would be asking God to touch and transform people's lives, we are really wanting to see men and women, boys and girls, become children of God and grow in their relation and mature in their relationship with Jesus Christ. So that's what is coming up. I'm really excited about the message I'm preaching on Sunday, and would love to have you come and be a part of that at 10:30 a.m. Sunday morning. We're in John chapter 5 this morning, and it says there in verse number 1 that after this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. And so that's where I want to stop the reading today. I want to talk to you from this passage today. I know that this passage emphasizes healing and divine healing. I believe in divine healing. I've experienced divine healing. I also believe in medical professionals. I believe in the wisdom that God has given to them. I'm always thankful whenever God touches a people supernaturally. But I want to talk to you from this passage today specifically about transformation. It talks here in this passage that there was a reason why people had gathered at the pool of Bethesda. And the reason for that is in verse number 4, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first and after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." The reason that people had gathered at the pool of Bethesda is that every once in a while, someone's life got changed. I don't know how to explain this theologically, but God would send an angel, the waters would be stirred, and the first one into the water got healed, but it was only the first person that got there. And so if you were fortunate enough to be there at that particular time, and all of a sudden you saw the water being stirred, then it was a race to get there. But the problem was that there were some people who were just sick and infirmed, and so they were probably weak. There were some who were blind, so they couldn't tell if the water was being stirred unless somebody said it was, or they perhaps maybe heard it. Some were lame, so if they saw and observed that the water was being stirred, they had no ability to get to the pool of water. And then there were people who were paralyzed, and all of them were waiting, and there was no set schedule. It wasn't like on the first Tuesday of the month at 6:30 in the morning that this was going to take place. It was a completely random event. And yet, because of that ray of hope that somebody's life was going to be changed, they would gather at this one particular place. Now, I want you to know that at Merritt Assembly of God, we are rejoicing in lives that have been transformed. And you can be transformed from all sorts of things. It does not just have to be a sickness. We have people who have been transformed from a lifestyle, a backslidden lifestyle, to a lifestyle where they are some of the most passionate and tremendous men and women of God that you have ever seen in your life. We have people who've been transformed from just kind of a traditional, traditional non-passionate relationship with God. Maybe it was an intellectual, maybe it was a just something that their family did, to where these people love the presence of God. We had a marvelous move of the Spirit of God last week, and we're thankful. We are thankful. And so I believe that the greatest gathering place for people who want to see their lives transformed is in the church. The problem that we see in 2015, we saw it in 2014, is that there are some areas of people's lives that we do not want to change. We believe that we are entitled to it and that we do not have to transform. I want you to know that things in my life change a lot of times, whether I want them to or not. Jesus said that we must become like little children. If you happen to be around little children, I'm involved with the not only with the adult ministries, but on Wednesday nights, I'm part of our boys and girls ministry program as well. And one of the things that you notice about boys and girls is that their life is always, they're always changing. When they go to school, the teachers change, their classmates change. You can put on a pair of shoes today and tomorrow they'll be way too small. When my son was little, it seemed like there were times when he would grow 6 to 8 inches at a time. Now it probably wasn't that much, but a pair of pants fit one week, and 2 weeks later, you know, they're serious high water pants. Things always change in a child's world. It seems like the only thing that tends to change in an adult's world is our waist size. And most of the time we're not happy about that. When you start talking about change with an adult, about things changing, whether it's a schedule, whether it's moving to a new city or a new environment, whatever, and all of a sudden there's some things about that they don't like, because there's uncertainty. There's a little bit of apprehension about where am I going to fit in. You know, I believe that life is a great adventure and that God is going to constantly be revealing his glory to glory to us. He is going to be opening our eyes to more and more. And so back to the text, there were people who had gathered at this particular place because there was a slim ray of hope that their life was going to be transformed. Now, for them, it was a physical situation. You may be believing for God to transform your finances, and I believe that he can do that. You may be believing God for him to transform you physically, as far as weight loss and becoming more fit. And I want you to know that I believe that God can do that. You may be believing for your marriage to become more like Jesus, to be more of a reflection of his love, his grace, his mercy, his peace, his joy. And I know that God can do that, because I have seen him transform marriages and bring them back from the brink of disaster. Some I've even seen gone beyond the brink. They were over the cliff and God brought them back. And so very, very thankful for that. And it's amazing what people will do for just a slim hope of change. But there's a scripture that says hope deferred makes the heart sick. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. And there was a, it says in verse number 5 that there was a man who had an infirmity 38 years. And it says Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already had been in that condition a long time. First of all, let me tell you that 38 years was a long time. There was another person that Jesus came and ministered to that she had had an infirmity for 18 years, and then Jesus healed her, and people got upset that he delivered her because he didn't do it on the day they thought he should do it on. And he said, Satan's had this woman bound for 18 years. Satan's had her bound for 18 years. That's too long. Now, I want you to know that there was a multitude of people at this place, all of them looking for transformation, all of them looking for healing. And Jesus walked up to just a certain man. Now, I will tell you this, that there were other times when Jesus healed all of the sick in a town. I believe that that's possible. I am praying that Brevard County would be known for supernatural transformations spiritually, but also for supernatural transformations physically. I believe that by his stripes, we were healed. The price has already been paid. I was in my devotions yesterday, and this passage was stirring in my spirit. I had had a situation where I woke up in the middle of the night, and it was really windy Wednesday night to Thursday morning, and I ended up going out to the couch. I turned on the television, and Creflo Dollar was preaching on the television, and he was talking about faith and healing and the correlation, you know, and that it's a gift of Jesus Christ to us. And I couldn't go to sleep until after that program was over because I was very excited to hear what he was saying. You see, I believe that Jesus, when he went to the cross and he received those stripes upon his back, that the rationing system was over. It was no longer a person having God's Spirit poured out upon him over here, and then it might be another few decades and somebody else might have an episode. I believe that because of what Jesus did on the cross, that all of that ration and intermittent frequency of divine healing, all of that was broken, and now it was something that was available to all. So Jesus comes up to this man, and he asks him, what if you look at it just from a superficial level, you would think, well, that's the stupidest question I've ever heard in my life. He goes up to the man and he says, do you want to be made well? Do you want to be made well? And you would look at that situation and say, well, of course he wants to be made well. Why wouldn't he be there at that place? Of course he's sick. He wants to be transformed. Who wants to be sick? But I will tell you that there are a lot of people who, like I talked about earlier, they may want the benefit, but they don't want the transformation that the benefit will require. You see, if this man is made well, if he was a 38-year-old man, all of a sudden he's going to have to get up. He's going to have to go learn a trade. He's going to have to learn a skill. He's not going to be able to stay in the same environment that he was before God transformed him. I don't know about you, but I'm looking for my spiritual atmosphere to be filled with the presence of God. I want my atmosphere to be filled with faith, that is, faith in action. I was in my devotions yesterday in James, and I got so excited just reading the little introduction from my study Bible there. It was like, that is wonderful. I may share some of that information just here and read it to you on another broadcast, because it was just so powerful. But Jesus said, do you want to be made well? Do you want me to touch you? And here, this time, this man wasn't waiting for the water to stir. This time, the God who stirred the water was coming to the man instead of asking the man to come to him. And today, I want you to know that Jesus is extending an invitation to you and I. Do you want to be changed? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want to be more like Jesus? And I believe that at that point in time, when we ask that question, or when Jesus asks us that question, here we are in 2015. Do you want 2015 to be completely different for you than 2014 was? Do you want to be transformed? Do you want your problems to become testimonies? Do you want your mess to become your message? Do you want God to transform your world? And most of us would say yes. And we need to realize at that point in time that when that change comes, when the touch of God comes, when the victory arrives, that we are going to have to change our environment. We're not just going to be able to lay around and wallow in the same place of deferred hope as we were before. In other words, we're going to be able to go places we've never gone, accomplish things we've never been able to do before, and speak into people's lives in a manner in which we've never been able to do before. So the first thing that the man says when Jesus looks upon him, and he says, "The sick man answered, 'Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred, but while I am coming, another steps down before me.'" And what he was doing was he was making an excuse for why. Now, it may have been a valid reason up until that point in time, but it was what was keeping him in that situation from transformation. He was basically saying, you know, life is not fair. Well, I am thankful that life is not fair. I am so thankful life is not fair. If God was fair, I would be on my way to hell because I violated his word. I grieved his heart. I sinned against him. I fell short of the glory of God. I fell short of my purpose. I let people down on occasion. And if God was fair, then I would be on my way to hell. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ. And he came and redeemed us and offered us a second chance. And in this aspect, I will tell you very much that God is fair in that he has given grace to all. He has given to each one a measure of faith so that every person has what is necessary to believe in Jesus Christ. But are you and I going to accept his offer, or are we going to make an excuse? This guy said, you know, I don't have anybody to carry me to the water. And, you know, if I do start that way, somebody gets down into the water before me. Now, I'm kind of a driven individual, kind of a stubborn guy. I want to use my stubbornness as a gift for God instead of a gift against God. And so I want to be a believer in the things of God. And if I knew that the water was stirred, and that the first one down into the water got healed, I'm telling you, I'm probably going to become Aquaman. I am probably going to just abide in that water. I am going to say, you all can stay out there waiting for it to happen, but I'm going to get down in the water, and when the water stirred, I'm going to be the first one down here. Now, I know that that sounds a little extreme, but that's, you know, if you've ever been sick and you realized how important health was after that, that's the way that I would go about it. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, enough with the excuses, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And it says, immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. I want you to know that the same Jesus who spoke to that man and spoke healing to that man, spoke transformation to his life. Look, he did not just heal his body that day. I believe that when that man was touched, that there was a change mentally. I know that there was a change emotionally. There was a change with purpose, and there was just a complete lifestyle change. Jesus healed a blind man one time, and he said, "Don't tell anybody." you say, well, why would he tell anybody that? Well, if you had been blind and all of a sudden you weren't blind any longer, the people who knew you when you were blind and now you can see, they're going to notice and they're going to say, wow, what's different in you? I believe that God wants a people that, you know, the King James Version calls them a peculiar people. I don't believe that we should be peculiar in the sense that we're weird or flaky or off the wall. There's been enough of that nonsense. I believe that we are peculiar in that we stand out. We are no longer ordinary. We are now extraordinary. We no longer operate by the sense of convenience. We operate by the sense of obedience. And so Jesus speaks to this man and says, I'm going to change everything. I'm going to take your problem away, your limitations away, and you are going to be able to go forth. And immediately the man was made well, and he said, I'm not laying around here anymore. I am going to get up and pursue the purpose of God that he has for me. And so he did. Jesus said, rise. So he rose up. He said, take up your bed. And the man immediately took up his bed. And Jesus said, walk. And he walked. And that day was the Sabbath. So I want to ask you this today. Do you believe that Jesus is really omnipresent in your world, that he knows everything there is about you, and that he wants to bring about a transformation in your life that is going to bring him glory? And I want to declare to you that God is able to change. He's able to change your marriage. He's able to change you. Listen, if he changes you, that will change your marriage. And a lot of times when people say, I want my marriage to change for the better, what they're actually saying in code is, I want God to change my spouse and make them a better person. Well, the only person that I have a responsibility or that I have the ability to change is myself with the help of the grace of God. And so my marriage will be better if God changes me and makes me more like Jesus. My finances will be better if God gives me the ability to no longer just lay around in a bunch of excuses, and I can now get up and be a productive member of society. Whatever transformation you need in your life, I want to ask you the same question Jesus did. Do you want God to change that? Do you want God to change that? And today I'm going to close this broadcast. We're going to enter in this weekend, and we're going to say, God, change me for your glory. Father, right now, no more excuses. No more apathy, just laying around. But Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, would you speak to our situations and transform us? Bring about the godly change in our lives in 2015 that you would have us to have. In Jesus' name, I pray that you will come out. If you do not have a home church, join us this Sunday as we worship the King. In Jesus' name, see you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Everybody I know says they need just one thing. What they really mean is they need just one thing more. And everybody seems to think they got it coming.
Well, I know that I don't deserve you. Still, I want to love and serve you more and more. You're my one thing.